Welcome to Listening Station by Feral Practice. In this episode, Bernard and Sue talk about old times, and local scientist and glowworm enthusiast Stephen Parkinson talks about cold light and warm nights.
Obviously, when we were children, you knew where to look, and it was part of being a child, you know, looking for them, if you know what I mean, but...
Yeah.
I couldn't believe I'd seen one. I'd heard about them, but not really paid attention to them.
We had them at home, didn't we, when we moved in?
Yeah, we did, when we moved in, yeah. But
we had them in the garden.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that was in Kingswood, not far from here.
Yeah. And that was 50-odd years ago, like, do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
We haven't seen them in later years, have we?
No.
Not seen them at all.
Have you ever seen glowworms?
We've seen things. Yeah. Oh, well, no, I've never seen a glowworm.
I was on my way back from a gig in Bath. I forget who I'd seen on a Saturday night 20 years ago, but I was cycling back on a very warm July night. As I got near Salford, I saw what seemed to be a light on the path. It was bright green, like an LED. And I thought, somebody's dropped this off their bike. So I slowed down and I had a look and I couldn't believe what I saw. It was a big fat beetle. And the last three segments of her abdomen were glowing, this brilliant LED green. And I was just entranced. And my first instinct was to look in my rucksack and see if I could find a container, because I felt I had to show this to all my colleagues at the Science Centre. The day later, I met up with my colleagues, and in the pub, we sat in a dark corner, and I opened up this little bottle, and there she was, glowing away. And we were all simultaneously in trance. I very quickly found my way to the UK Glowworm Survey, which is a blog site, a website put together by Robin Skagel, who lives in Gloucestershire. And I felt compelled to become part of the UK Glowworm Survey. And so every year, in the first 2 weeks of July, I cycle up and down the cycle path from here to Bath and look for glowworms and report them. And over the years, there's been a fairly persistent colony down by Salford and Bitton. And I used to see them here in Mangotsfield Station. And I used to bring my daughter and her friends along. I remember taking her out when she was five, and I had a seat on the back because we had to cover quite a long way. The very first night we went out and found some, it was one of those lovely, warm July nights. And we cycled at great speed all the way down to Salford and then back again. And we found three. I've got photographs of her holding this thing, and she had a Dennis the Menace red and black stripy jumper and a bright green thing, and yeah, she was in trance. And you find these glowworms either on the side of the cycle path in the short grass or in the long grass or sometimes in hedges, but they do like to advertise their presence, and they do tend to they climb up high so you can see them. And they will advertise to males, but as soon as they've mated, that's it, they'll turn off. The balance is a knife edge. On one side, you've got the attractiveness of finding a mate, and on the downside, you've got the fact that you're advertising your presence to anything that can eat you. If she does mate, she'll lay eggs, and then the whole three-year cycle will start again. The larvae will stay in the same place, grubbing around on the floor, and until 3 years later, in their final molt, they will start glowing brightly. And it's exquisite. And nature has hit upon the same two chemicals at the bottom of the sea in fireflies and in glowworms, luciferin and luciferase. And these are the two chemicals that when they meet together, they give off this beautiful, cold green light. And funny enough, we use luciferin in DNA analysis and DNA modification because it's a marker. In Australia, to combat truck drivers driving off the sides of these long straight roads in the desert, they were going to insert these glowing DNA instructions into tobacco plants and plant them along the side of the highway.
Okay.
So they were like glowing markers.
That'd been quite spooky, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And The glowworms are living on the edge of survivability, and over the years they declined, and I haven't seen any there now for the last over 10 years. And a couple of years ago they installed some wildlife friendly lighting on the cycle path, but I was very dismayed when, come the first 2 weeks of July, when the glowworms are active, the light stayed on. So quite clearly nobody had told the people organising the wildlife friendly lights when they should turn off. So I think that was the final death knell. And if you turn off the lights at night, not only can you save a lot of money, you can also have proper dark skies and start to see the Milky Way and other exciting treasures. Every year I learn again how magical nature is. It's always a joy to see the first glowworm.
Listening Station was commissioned as part of Mangotsfield Folly, a project curated by Suzanne Heath in partnership with Artel 31. It's supported by Arts Council England, Emerson's Green Town Council, and Sustrans.